Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you so much. Very beautiful. And thanks, Deb, for putting that beautiful slideshow together. It showed all the activities that have been happening in the youth and family ministry this year, right? So let's give Deb a round of applause here. Thank you for all you do. You know, one thing's for sure is we want to leave this place just a little bit, tinsy bit higher up than we came in, right? Isn't that the point of it? We want to go out better than we came in. And, you know, maybe we were really down, and so we're just above ground. Or maybe we're feeling pretty good, but we're even higher. So whatever we do, we want to come up to a higher level. And that's what we're talking about today, watchtower wisdom. And I've always loved climbing towers for a number of reasons, because there's a sense of perspective you could see from that higher level, right? When you come up, you can look at the view in a more distinct way, in a clarity that you can't get from ground level. And so we're using that metaphor of watchtower wisdom. And I'm going to take a lot of scripture from Habakkuk, who's an Old Testament prophet, short book in the Bible, but he has that image of taking his stand on the watchtower to look. And, you know, I believe that one of the most important things on the spiritual path, actually, is to look. And I don't just mean looking with the physical eyes, but actually if you can be present to what is, if you can be there, if you can watch and look and see at a deep level, you begin to see things you couldn't see when you're just reacting, yeah? And so there's a power that opens up when we're willing to be present, willing to watch, to look. We're not always at that level. And so we're starting from the human perspective, and we're starting at the beginning of Habakkuk. And like a lot of the prophets, he moaned a lot, you know? That's what they do. They moan and they whine and they complain. And I got to ask the question, have any of us been doing any kind of little bit of complaining this week? Anybody? Just a few people. All right, very good. So maybe we can identify with Habakkuk. This is what he says. Lord, how long will I call for help and you will not listen? I cry out to you, violence! But you don't deliver us. Why do you show me injustice and look at anguish so that devastation and violence are before me? There is strife and conflict abounds. The instruction is ineffective. I read the manual, but it doesn't work. This is supposed to be instruction, but it's ineffective, Lord. You've got to help me here. Justice does not endure because the wicked surround the righteous. Justice becomes warped. This was written 3,000 years ago, but it kind of is a little bit apropos to what's going on in the crazy state of affairs in our world today, isn't it? Bob Dylan puts it this way. He says, they must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, and plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. Again, written in the 60s, but amazingly apropos, yes? Which particular businessman has been drinking my wine this week, I wonder? But we can't stay at that level. Why not? Why not? I mean, you can. You're going to be miserable, right? Living, always mistrusting. I love what Deb's prayer suggested, is that trust is something that we hold on to even though we don't see the evidence of it immediately. And that's the whole point of watchtower wisdom. When we're down on the ground, you can't see the higher picture. That's why we have to come up higher, yeah? That's the message here. And we have to trust that presence of wholeness and divine order, that when the sun goes down, it's going to come back, yeah? I love that parable, because sometimes when things go dark, we think that's going to be forever, right? And we know from our life experience, though, that it's not like that. I know from my own experience, I've had my dark times, but I know the sun is going to shine again. I have to keep the high watch. And God responds to Habakkuk. He says this. He says, look among the nations and watch. There's that watch again. Be astonished and stare, because something is happening in your days that you wouldn't believe even if I told you. Interesting, isn't it? Really? Let's say it again. Look among the nations and watch. Be astonished. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be astonished and stare, because something's happening in your days that you wouldn't believe even if I told you. Listen, we can't see the higher picture from that level. We have to go up higher. See, God is saying, trust this. Even in this midst of this craziness, there is divine order. There is opportunity. There's something happening, right? There's something that's for you to understand. You're not going to believe it from the level of your humanness. Therefore, we have to move not from our humanness, we have to move up to the level of our spiritual truth, the spiritual identity of who we are. You know, it's an easy cop-out to say everything's an opportunity, right? Because, yeah, right, I'm suffering, yeah, and it's an opportunity. Great, thanks very much. But in the larger picture, it always is. You know, this nation, for instance, has been through incredibly tough times, hasn't it? We went through a whole civil war. We went through the devastation of the Depression. Went through all the craziness of the 60s and 70s, yes? And yet we endured, didn't we? Why? Because we kept the high watch, because we kept the vision of what America is about. And I think you'll see it in your own lives. I've had my ups and my downs. I've had troughs where it seemed like there was nothing good anymore. But I know through my faith, through coming up higher, that that wasn't the truth, right? It was just a temporary stage in the darkness of the night. The light was coming, and I have to trust that. I have to come up into that higher awareness to get understanding. Bob Dylan says this. He says, no reason to get excited. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, yeah? It's not just a joke, is it? It's not stupidity, why do I bother? Though sometimes we can feel that way. But you and I, we've been through that. And this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely. The hour is getting late. Now, why is the hour always getting late? It's getting late in Bob Dylan. It's getting late in the Bible. It's always the hour's coming. It's getting late. Why? What's that about? If we got all the time in the world, why is the hour getting late? And nobody's leaving until we get the right answer. Oh, we already got it. All right, yeah, it's always now, isn't it? It's always now, which means, why is it getting late then? Because if you're waiting for something else, you're waiting too long, because why not claim it now? It's about how we climb up the tower now, right? Not waiting. And why do we climb up the tower, by the way? How? All right, let's ask this question, how? We say, well, I don't want to be stuck in my humanness, but how do I get up the darn tower? So how'd you do it? One rung at a time, okay. Believe it's possible. That's the first step, isn't it? I can do this. That's why I like affirmation, because affirmations are statements of absolute truth, right? I am a rich child of a loving Father, Mother God, and I dare to prosper now, right? That's a statement of truth. It has nothing to do with your bank account. It has nothing to do with the state of your monetary affairs. It has everything to do with the flow of good in your life, right? When you understand that, there'll always be a flow of good when you need it. When you claim, I'm a rich child of a loving Father, Mother God, and I dare to prosper now, I dare to claim my good. But if I say, oh my God, my bank account is not doing well, I'm never going to have enough, I don't earn enough, what are we doing? We're limiting ourselves. We're not coming up into that understanding. So affirmation is a way of rising up. Taking sustenance, coming here on Sunday is one reason to do this, isn't it? It's to come up a little higher, right? To remember the greater truths that are available to all of us. I mean, I get as much out of it to do it as to you receiving it. You know what I'm saying? It's a two-way street. I love this because it reminds me on a weekly basis why I'm here, what's possible, why am I on this planet, yeah? What else? See the good, be the good. Take your focus off what others would have you see, yeah? Habakkuk chooses this higher way, and he definitely gets better as the book progresses, as we also do, hopefully. As we get older, we get wiser, don't we? And in chapter 2, he says this, I will take my post, I will position myself on the watchtower, I will keep watch to see what the Lord says to me and how he will respond to my complaint. Now he's beginning to take his emphasis off his complaint and put it on, we better get this one right. We better get this one right. Yeah, he's taking his emphasis off all the problems, right? All of what appears to be out there, and is beginning to focus on God, right? I will position myself on the watchtower and the higher perspective in the level of trust that we're talking about, right? I will keep watch, no matter what. I'll keep watch to see what the Lord says to me. And the Lord is not somebody out there. Of course, the Lord is within us, right? So we're going into that inner sanctuary where our true resources lie. I'm a rich and prosperous, happy, fulfilled child of God, of a loving Father, Mother God, and I dare to claim that good now. Yeah? And then the Lord responds. This is what the Lord says. Write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end. It does not deceive. If it delays, wait for it is surely coming. It will not be late. Some people's desires are truly audacious. They don't do the right thing, but the righteous person will live honestly. Right? So he calls us to write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. Now, back in those days, they didn't have cars or airplanes or whatever. They sent runners, okay? So then they would write the note down, the vision, on a piece of paper or whatever, parchment, and it had to be clear, didn't it? Because if you scribble it down, oh my God, I got a vision. Write it down so quickly, when it gets to the person who's supposed to receive it, I can't read this. This is stupid. That's not helpful, folks. A doctor must have written this. The point is, even in the midst of difficult times, when you feel confused and overwhelmed, when you write your vision down, get calm, get still. Take your time, write it out clearly. Understand clearly what you truly want. Now, this week, there is no pop quiz, but there is homework. And the homework is to clarify your vision, right? Because it says in the Bible, without a vision, the people perish, right? We have to have a vision. A vision is what you see clearly as your life intention. It's interesting, we're doing that this week at the treasure mapping, creating that vision. That's what the whole purpose of the treasure mapping is. And it's creating a vision board. But we have to ask ourselves, and I'll put the question out now. We don't necessarily have to answer it right now because it's something to take home with us. But what is our vision? Because if we don't have a vision, guess what? Somebody will have a vision for us, right? And then we'll have to follow their vision. And they would love us to do that. But we have to take charge of our own vision, right? We have to go to God, not to any other God-like being out there, or energy, or dissatisfaction that's making us create a vision that's warped and twisted. We have to have a vision that's what? Filled with love and possibility, with hopefulness, right? With, we're all in this together. It's not them and us. That's the vision that we want to create. Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for your life? Because, you know, as George Harrison said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there, right? So it's helpful sometimes to know where I'd like to go. And the miracle is, the more you know, the more it comes into being for you, right? Because that's the wish-fulfilling power of spirit in our lives. So, you know, my vision is God's in charge, no matter what. I trust that. And so there's a higher purpose, there's a divine order. The sun went down, but the sun's coming up. I trust it. I trust the divine order of the universe. And I trust that greater is the good in any situation than anything else that appears to be. Right? There's always good, even in the most devastating of places. Also, I'm in charge of my life, because who else could be? Right? We have to take charge of our own lives. That doesn't mean your ego. That means you align with spirit and be a co-creator with God's good. At the end of Habakkuk, the prophet leaves us these beautiful poetic words that sound a little discouraging in a way, but what he's done, he's moved from appearance to reality. And he's saying that even if it doesn't work out the way I would like it to work out, doesn't matter, because I know I trust God and all will ultimately be well. Yeah? And this is what he writes, and I love it. I write it down a lot. I've got it in all my journals. It says, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and there's no produce on the vine, though the olive crop withers, and the fields don't provide food, though the sheep is cut off from the pen, and there is no cattle in the stalls, it's not a good day. It's a bad year, isn't it? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will ask him to be my deliverance. The Lord God is my strength. He will set my feet like the deer. He will let me walk upon the heights. See, because now we're not dependent on what appears to be, right? We are going to a higher perspective. Imagine if Jesus had just gone along with the way it seemed to be. He would have folded. But he didn't go along with the way it appeared to be. He went along with the way God showed him to be, yeah? And as a result, transformed the world. And we are called upon, guess what? Tall order. We are called upon to do the same thing, right? To have the same kind of vision, same kind of power in our lives. Bob Dylan writes this. All along the watchtower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching. The wind began to howl. Again, very prescient. It was written back in the 70s. I don't know who the two riders are. A lot of people have wondered from the time he wrote it till now. I mean, maybe they're the two political candidates coming towards us, folks. Two riders were approaching, and the wind began to howl. Luckily, I don't just believe in physical. Let's not just get physical. Let's get metaphysical, right? I think there's a higher way of interpreting this. And for me, the two riders are, of course, the two parts of us, our humanness and our spirit. And they're not enemies, by the way. You know, some traditions say the flesh is sinful, you know, and you've got to become spiritual. Spirit and flesh are one in truth, right? But if we only focus in on the human, we can lose our way. We have to remember we're also spiritual beings. And the Mundaka Upanishad puts it this way, beautiful writing, using the analogy not of two riders, but of two birds on a tree. And he says there are two birds, two sweet friends, who dwell on the self-same tree. The one eats the fruit thereof, and the other looks on in silence. The first is the human soul, who, resting on that tree, though active, feels sad in his unwisdom because he's spending all his time with his appetites, right? Eating, taking care of business, our humanness. But on beholding the power and glory of the higher spirit, he becomes free from sorrow. That's the watchtower wisdom, isn't it? It's remembering the truth of our being, right? Coming up higher. Then we overcome sorrow because remember we are more than just the physical, the human part of ourselves. When the wise person beholds in golden glory the Lord within, the Spirit, the creator of the God of creation, then he leaves good and evil behind. It's not this and it's not that, right? It's both. It's an all embrace. He leaves good and evil behind, and in purity he goes to the unity supreme. 5051 Trail Lake Drive. That was silly, but I wanted to say it. In silent wonder, the wise see him as the life flaming in all creation. This is the greatest understanding of God, who doing all his work as holy work, when we sanctify ourselves and do everything from spiritual perspective, in God, in spirit, in the self, we find all peace and joy. So what have we learned today from Habakkuk, from Bob Dylan? We have a humanness, right? And it can divide us sometimes if we overly focus upon it. But it's not evil, it's not bad, it's just raw material to understand. But we are invited to come up higher, right? To have a vision of something greater. And that's our homework this week, is to clarify, what is my vision right now, right? Because when I've got a vision, life becomes better, because God wants to fulfill any vision that we have, right? Any idea that's filled with God's good must be made apparent. So when we have that vision, we have a great future ahead of us, great possibility, and it must begin, as always, only with you and with me. Yes? Amen? Are we willing to do it? Yes. Yeah!
Close your eyes with me and let's take an opportunity to visit our inner beauty, our inner world. Maybe reflect on what our vision happens to be. We've all been to beautiful places. Last couple of weeks, Paul and I were in Nova Scotia. It's a beautiful place. While we were there, it gave me an opportunity to stop and reflect on a vision that I had written down about a year ago. I'd written down in my vision book that I wanted to be in beautiful places. I wanted to see beautiful things. I took a moment and stopped my thoughts and reviewed this vision that I had. And at first, I saw beautiful places that I had been and experienced. I saw beautiful people that I had spent time with. I remembered beautiful objects that I've held in my hand. Every recollection coming to me was one of beauty. Everything was beautiful. A sense of gratitude came over me. I felt I had received a gift of life when I realized beauty surrounds me all the time, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. So looking back over my original vision that I wanted beautiful things around me helped me understand that beauty is everywhere when you hold the vision that that's what it is. So you can find that vision in the high watch, keeping the high watch by concentrating, by expanding your vision for yourself and for others. Today's daily word has a word of wisdom. As I listen in faith, I discern the voice or activity of God. This comes to me in a variety of ways, perhaps a feeling, a dream, or a divine idea at the right and perfect time. I listen for and follow my inner guidance to do my part to bring my prayer to fruition. I move forward with clarity and assurance. The inspiration comes from John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Dear loving Father, Mother, God, thank you for all the beauty in life. May we claim it, celebrate it. May we rejoice in the assurance that all the gifts of life, which are limitless, we receive from staying present to our watchtower wisdom. By being aware and having faith, we are children of God and offered to us is the kingdom of heaven. It was this thought that inspired Myrtle Fillmore to overcome tuberculosis and live a healthy life while sharing with others this beautiful wisdom. Her inspiration lives on. Let us claim this for ourselves. Claim your vision. Hold it dear and bring it with you as you open your eyes and look around and soak in the beauty that is around all of us. Complete. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.